Cessna will further cut its piston product workforce. A new study says the recession will cost 10% of aerospace jobs. And the science of global warming may wind up on trial. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 26th, 2009. NASA had to scrub another shuttle launch this morning, but this time it wasn't weather that kept Discovery on the pad. There was a fuel valve problem discovered sometime before T0, and NASA hadn't announced as of our deadline when they'd try again. We'll let you know more when we know. Cessna is announcing still more cuts in piston aircraft production at its plants in Independence, Kansas, and Columbus, Georgia. Aviation Week quotes a letter from Jim Walters, Cessna's senior VP for human resources, in which Walters says, quote, "While we continue to see signs of stabilization in the overall economy, we are not ready yet to say we've hit the bottom of this downturn. This workforce adjustment, along with the planned reduction already announced in my June 12th memo, will still not exceed 500 employees," unquote. Walters also confirmed the company will follow employee suggestions to close for the already holiday-shortened weeks of Thanksgiving and Christmas. A new study predicts aerospace employment will fall by 4.5% in 2009, and job losses will continue into 2010. The study was conducted by Aviation Week and industry associations and polled 43 aerospace and defense companies with combined employment of 520,000. That's about 80% of the whole industry. Ironically, aerospace companies are still recruiting engineers and face an expected shortage of qualified people as a baby boom retirement wave comes to a crest. While the study found that job losses could reach 10% of the industry before the effects of the recession are over, Aviation Week notes that's nothing like the 40% wiped out by the end of the Cold War. Are you tired of the political fighting over global warming? We're told by environmentalists that A, global warming is real, and B, everybody knows it's caused by humans. The other side says A, global warming is a hoax or based on a limited historical perspective, and B, scientists with dissenting views have been forced to shut up or lose government research grants. Well, now the LA Times reports the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is pushing to force the Environmental Protection Agency to hold public hearings on the validity of the science before using the premise of man-made climate change as a basis for regulations that could severely impact U.S. business. William Kovacs, who is the Chamber's senior VP for Environment, Technology, and Regulatory Affairs, tells the paper, quote, "It would be evolution versus creationism. It would be the science of climate change on trial," unquote. The EPA has another description, a waste of time. Spokesman Brendan Gilfillan says the agency's stand that global warming is a danger to public health is based, quote, "on the soundest peer-reviewed science available, which overwhelmingly indicates that climate change presents a threat to human health and welfare," unquote. The two sides can't even agree on whether the effects would be good or bad. EPA says global warming will bring us more frequent heat waves, wildfires, degraded air quality, and an increase in both droughts and floods. The chamber cites studies that predict that higher temperatures will actually reduce human mortality rates. This could get interesting. Up next on ANN, King Schools names a new senior VP. Embraer announces the first German delivery of a Legacy 600. And Bombardier says its Chinese partner is passing quality control. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 26th. I'm Paul Plack. Statistically, August is the cruelest month for aviation in Alaska. Operations into short and unimproved fields for hunting and fishing expeditions get the blame. This year, the FAA, along with the Medallion Foundation, the Alaska Chapter of the 99s, and Arctic Airs Academy, offered a full-day seminar at Palmer Municipal Airport in Palmer, Alaska on August 1st for pilots who already fly into places like Black Rapids, the Talkeetna Mountains, and other areas in northern Alaska. The passengers are generally hunters and fishermen looking for backcountry experiences, which means landing and taking off from gravel bars, airstrips cut between trees, or dirt strips on the sides of mountains. Not surprisingly, most of the accidents are on takeoff and landing. There were 22 aviation accidents reported in Alaska in August of 2007. That was up from 14 in 2004. Dennis Ward, executive director of the Medallion Foundation, observed, quote, "Most of the time, the injuries to the pilot and passenger are minimal, but the cost of getting your airplane ferried or even helicoptered out is astronomical," unquote. Palmer Airport manager Chris Gates says he'd like to expand next year's safety seminar to a two-day event. John and Martha King started producing their video courses for flight students 25 years ago and remain the public face of the company. But they've also gone from a husband and wife team working out of a spare room in their home to a company with 70 employees and outside executive talent brought in to let them focus on creating the courses themselves. Barry Natilla, who has overseen the company's technology organization for 7 years, has been named King School's Senior VP of Marketing and Technology. Dave Jackson, King's president and CEO, said of his new VP, quote, "Barry has unique abilities in both areas of our business, and he has played an important role in the marketing of our courses for some time. We feel blending marketing with technology will serve us well," unquote. Jackson himself was named CEO just this past January. John and Martha remain co-chairmen of the board. Embraer has delivered a Legacy 600 executive jet to Germany's VibroAir Flugservice. That's the first Embraer aircraft to be delivered to VibroAir, and it happened at Embraer's headquarters in Brazil. VibroAir is based at Dusseldorf International Airport. The manufacturer says the delivery represents the beginning of what may be a long-term relationship. VibroAir has firm orders for two Phenom 300 light executive jets and a mid-size Legacy 500, all to be delivered in 2014. The Legacy 600 entered service in 2002 and claims more than 170 units flying in 26 countries. While sharing an RJ heritage, the Legacy 600 is customized for executive use and offers a range of up to 3,400 nautical miles. Bombardier reports it has received and tested the first fuselage test barrel for its new C-Series single-aisle aircraft at Saint-Laurent, Quebec. This is not an actual fuselage part, but a sort of proof of concept to test the manufacturing agreement with Shenyang Aircraft in China, Bombardier's partner on the project. The company says the 23-foot-long barrel, which has a maximum diameter of 12 feet, is made of advanced aluminum alloys and left China July 20th. Bombardier adds it has passed its quality checks. Robert Dewar, a C-Series program VP, says the partnership, quote, "is an integral part of our commitment to building a long-term investment and strategic industrial relationship with China," unquote. The C-Series marks Bombardier's move into 110 to 130-seat small airliners. The company says the plane is being designed specifically for comfort, but will also set new standards in fuel efficiency and reduced environmental impact. Still ahead, Premium Aerotech gets an important new piece of manufacturing equipment. UK officials blew it in an attempt to save a few pounds. And you'll need to start allowing more time for that round of golf in LA. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 26th. I'm Paul Platt. If you have a background in the medical field or waste disposal, you may know what an autoclave is, but you've probably never seen one that's 84 feet long and 24 feet high. Premium Aerotech in Nordenham, Germany now has one. It's been nicknamed the Colossus and will be used to cure carbon fiber fuselage sections for the forthcoming Airbus A350 XWB airliner. As you might imagine, plant manager Helmut Farber is beaming like a proud papa. Quote, "Today we are number one in production of metal shells for Airbus. With the investment to be effected here in Nordenham over the next 2 years, we are doing our utmost to attain a similar position in the area of carbon fiber production as well. The arrival of the autoclave is an important milestone in achieving this," unquote. Premium Aerotech says it will invest the equivalent of over $500 million U.S. in production infrastructure for the A350 by 2011. The UK Ministry of Defense is looking rather penny-wise, pound-foolish about now. In 1995, MOD ordered 8 Chinook helicopters from Boeing at a cost of $483 million. But Sky News reports the government tried to save a few bucks by ordering them without flight software, thinking it could write its own. Well, the helicopters have now reportedly been sitting in an air-conditioned hangar at Boscombe Down, unable to fly, since their delivery in 2001. Fortunately, as everybody knows, a complex military helicopter left sitting for the better part of a decade is essentially frozen in time, so at least they won't need any maintenance attention. In explaining the just-announced exit of Allegiant Air from the Cuban charter market, Allegiant Travel Company CEO Maurice Gallagher said this. Listen to this. Quote, "While our Cuba flying has been and continues to be profitable, these programs are exposing the airline and its people to operational complexity inconsistent with our operating philosophy. Since we are not short of profitable opportunities consistent with operational simplicity, we decided the sensible thing was to remain true to our proven operating philosophy and return our people and aircraft to such efforts." Unquote. Is it me? Or did we just hear a really graceful euphemism for pain in the ass? And finally today, the Westchester Golf Course near Los Angeles International Airport is about to end its status as a 15-hole par 52 executive course. The course lost 3 of its original 18 holes to the construction of the Westchester Parkway, a road serving LAX, when the road was built 20 years ago. The Argonaut of Southern California reports that Los Angeles World Airports has gotten FAA approval for restoration, in what Executive Director Gina Marie Lindsay tells the paper, quote, "is another sign of our commitment that we will work collaboratively with our neighbors as we modernize LAX," unquote. Now, a race of sorts is on. The lease on the property has terms requiring that construction be done within 180 days. County officials expect to beat that by a wide margin and hope for a ribbon-cutting ceremony around New Year's Day. The bad news? If the only way you could break 100 was to play at a 15-hole course, you're going to have to look for another one. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with airshow veteran Bud Granley about his flying career. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.